No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
Be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed this week. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm good.
You're okay?
Yep.
All right. You ready to talk more about AirVenture, to cover it, even though we weren't there?
Yeah. So we pressed about it.
We sent our moles out there. Let you know we had Smokey and Jim. Or Smokey Jim? Or, I don't know. There's something.
Smokey and Jim.
Yeah. And we had them there at the event. We kind of got a little idea of what the camping situation was. Like, but you know, here we are a week later. It's wrapped up. From all accounts, from what I've heard, it was very a great event. Is that what you got too?
Yeah, from what I've heard. Yeah,
yeah. And
I mean, I've been kind of following along quite a bit with AeroNews.net and everything coming out from AOPA.
Yeah, all the press releases have been fairly positive from what I can see. But we're going to try to connect with AOPA's Tom Haynes and get the lowdown from him. But one of our moles, I don't know, a man on the street, man in the plane, I don't know what we call him. We'll have to come up with some kind of, slug line for him. Dennis was there with his son and daughter as well, right? Is that what the deal was, Dennis?
Yep. Yep, and son, daughter, and grandfather was with, too.
Oh, so. Okay. All right. So several generations of Dennis's. And they were there at AirVenture for the first time camping in their own RV and doing the whole thing. And I'm anxious to hear how it went for you, man. And maybe you can share that with the rest of the class, and maybe people can plan accordingly and learn from your mistakes. Not that you made any, but I'm assuming there might be a few little suggestions you could share with our crew today that might make it more of a positive experience for AirVenture next year. Am I right, Dennis, or what?
Yeah, I think getting there earlier to get a better camping spot, it would have been good. As Jim and Smokey mentioned, their spot was gone by only a day. But that said, there was no problem finding parking spots. I mean, we had a 35-foot Class A motorhome, and we had to pick of our spots. So I was able to get a spot where we could have the generator running 24/7 if we needed it. And, fortunately, we didn't.
Well, you came in what time? Like on Thursday or when?
Yeah, we got in Thursday evening, right around dinner time. And the air show was still going on when we got there, so we were getting set up and watching the airplanes flying overhead, although the ceilings were down pretty low, so it was, there wasn't a lot of arrival traffic, but it was great because it was easy to set up. It wasn't blazing hot.
Cool. Okay. Well, we had warned him that if coming in, halfway through the event, that he might not be able to get a prime camping location. So do you think you got one of those spots that someone bailed out, coming to the show early and didn't stay through the weekend, or it was just that easy to go camp there? What do you think?
It was just that easy to go camp there. We're in one of the relatively new sections of the Camp Shoulder campground, so there was lots of available open space. We had more big RVs, more trailers. Anything you could tow seemed to show up there.
Yes. Well, how far from the front gate do you figure you were?
As far as you could get, pretty
much.
But we were off of the main, they call it Stitz Road, which cuts through the middle of the campground.
Yep.
So the nice part is it's very convenient to grab the buses that are running every 10 to 15 minutes through there. So you just get on the bus at Aspen and Stitz, and the next stop is the front gate.
So how close to Jim and Smokey you think he was, Ed? You got a better idea.
I really don't know where Jim and Smokey were at.
Well, they were right outside one of the gates. I mean, not the front gate, but one of the side gates.
Mm-hmm.
And you could walk it in about
20-some years since I've been there.
Oh, okay. I don't remember. He was about a 15-minute walk from one of the gates.
Yeah.
But you're saying it was a little bit further than that for you, but still convenient because of the shuttle service they offer.
Yep.
Okay.
The logistics at Oshkosh is phenomenal. For anybody who's concerned about having to walk around the place, you don't have to worry about that. It's good exercise. I put on about 25 miles of walking over the 4 days we were there.
That's pretty good.
By choice.
Yeah, you got the little Fitbit working overtime, did you?
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough. He worked up the steps, and that's a good way to look at it. You know, it's a you know, that's the way you walk off all those corn dogs and elephant ears and ice cream.
Well, Oshkosh won't like me very much because we actually didn't eat anything at the event.
What?
Because we came self-contained. We had, you know, a refrigerator and freezer full of food back at the trailer. So
you brought your own cheese curds to Oshkosh, Wisconsin? Come on.
Well, we drove through Wisconsin. We bought cheese curds on the way. What
oh,
do you mean?
Okay. Yeah.
He just didn't buy it on the grounds at Oshkosh.
Ah,
although they do have a relatively well-stocked camp store there that if you forgot something, you could generally get it there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they sell everything there on the show floor or, you know, on the grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we never had to leave the venue the entire time we were there. It was, you know, take a shuttle bus to the show, take a shuttle bus to the museum, go back to the camper for lunch, take a quick little nap, go back to the camp, you know, go back again. It was wonderful because I think we got to experience a lot more of Oshkosh without having to worry about getting in the car and driving around and missing things like Jim and Smokey had said, too.
Well, true. That's really the way to cover the event. I mean, you know, we're based in Orlando, Florida, and we have the theme parks. We had Disney World here, right? You go to the theme parks, which is spread out over three different theme parks that are literally miles. I mean, your feet are killing you after a day at the theme park. It's insane. You go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin for the AirVenture show. And you're like, hey, that was nothing. This was a nightmare compared, you know, as far as like how big this event is in square footage. Well, it's not square footage, it's miles.
Yeah.
So you do need to take advantage of some of the trams, even if, you know, you're one of those Fitbit fanatics. But yeah, it sounds like you had a good time and you covered it well. You did it properly as far as with the campground thing and bringing the RV in. So what would you change differently? You would just go earlier, you say, or what?
Yeah, we were actually toying with the idea of maybe going in and parking the camper a week early and having a chase pilot to come pick us up and then fly in for the actual air show.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you could have a much closer spot up closer to one of the pedestrian gates where you wouldn't have to wait on the shuttle buses.
Right. Well, and that's what Jim and Smokey do. They actually volunteer and get their RV usually in there, I think, a week or so before the main event starts. But, of course, they volunteer and help out the show organizers and stuff like that and that kind of thing. But that's how they get their primo spot.
Yeah.
They stick it. And actually, this year, I don't know if you heard this, Dennis, but Jim, somebody took his spot.
And I did hear that.
Yeah, and so he had to, like, challenge him to a duel or something. I don't know. I might have made that part up.
I think you made that part up.
Yeah, but there was this whole thing, you know, that they had to work through and find another preferred spot. Literally right next door. So
it sounded like he survived okay. It was still in the you know, near the trees and all that.
Yes, I think he worked out okay. Yeah, and that's the key. You want to get one of those primo spots under the trees where you get a little shade or protection from the elements, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure what he's looking for other than getting closer to the gate. But he definitely has a primo spot, but it sounds like you did fine anyway. So, but you would like to get one of those primo spots if you could work it out with your schedule. What you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. And,
go ahead.
With a big boat like that, you know, I didn't want to exactly go whipping it around in the campground trying to find, you know, the ideal spot. It was kind of like, well, let's go down the main road and, hey, this looks good. We'll just set up the stakes here and call it a day.
I told Jim you were planning to do this, and I said, God help him. He said, yeah, he might be okay because some of the people come for the first part of the show and they leave. You know, by Friday, because they don't want to deal with the weekend crowd. So you might be able to come in and pull into one of those cool spots that someone, you know, commandeered early in the process. So he did say he thought you'd be fine. And sure enough, you were anyway.
And I was. And
yeah.
Yeah. If I could figure out a way to get some sort of a scooter or maybe take my golf cart, that would be really, really handy as well to be able to zip around.
Did you borrow a bike?
No, we could have put a couple bikes in the back, but we just decided, you know what, let's just get there this time and see what we need to do for next time to make it better.
You know, the bike system they have there at AirVenture is one of the most unique things I have ever seen. And it's basically the honor system. Everybody brings a bike to the event, or they'll rent one from some local shop in Oshkosh, and then they'll park it, and then they'll leave it there for next year. Have you heard of this, Ed?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he, you know, they were showing me this how they did this, and because Jim and Smokey have done the same thing. They'll get a cheap little bike, and then they'll have a bike for the show. They'll leave it in an area at Air Venture, and the bike people come and get it, and they rent them out again for next year. It's one of the weirdest honor system deals I've ever seen.
Mm.
So, you know, you could have done that. Did you see all those bikes laying around?
I saw a whole bunch of bikes up against the pedestrian gates and stuff, the special bike corral, but you know, I just assumed it was all people that had ridden the bikes from the campground, I didn't want to just go borrow one that wasn't locked.
Well, you have to rent them, but you rent them for very, very cheaply, and you just rent them for the week, and then you just leave them there till next year, and then the rental bike company comes by, rounds them all up, and then rents them back to the campers again for the following year.
Works for me.
Yeah. Okay. Enough camping, more flying next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
The flight situation, simple. There's no way on earth we're going to get out of here tonight. We'd have more luck playing pick-up sticks with our butt cheeks than we will getting a flight out of here before daybreak.
I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly.
Hi there, Bob Hoover here. You are listening to Just Plain Radio. Here's Greg, your co-pilot, and some other folks.
Yes, that would be me. Thanks, Bob. I don't know, was he at Air Venture, Dennis? Did you see Bob Hoover wandering around at all?
I didn't see him, but he was actually prominently featured at the Ford exhibit. They were doing a Bob Hoover-inspired Ford Mustang that they were giving away this year as part of, I think, the Young Eagles raffle or something like that. Apparently, Bob Hoover and Carroll Shelby were great friends back in the era. So when Ford created this one-of-a-kind giveaway vehicle, they actually built it off of a Shelby chassis instead of just a classic Mustang chassis for the giveaway this year. So that was kind of a cool vehicle to see. They had, you know, painted up a bright yellow, old Yeller, just like his airplane was. And yeah, really, would have been neat to get your hands on.
So, but you got to be a Young Eagle or whatever to get in on that?
No, it's a fundraiser for Young Eagles.
Oh, so you got in on some of that action, didn't you?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep. Fair chances enough. Of winning are just about as good as getting a trip to the Maldives on scuba radio.
Yes.
But hey.
Slim to none.
Ow. Ow. I felt the piercing
actually, wait a
of
minute.
That jab.
We have a last-minute spot available for you. I do, Dennis.
I said
seriously.
Winning it.
Okay. I misunderstood you then. No. Here's the thing. He texted me a picture of his camper. That's one thing. But he also texted me a picture of Fifi. Fifi was there.
Yeah, Fifi was going to be there.
Oh, that's right. We were wondering
but
if the other one.
Doc
couldn't make it.
Yeah, they haven't gotten through the flight test on
it. Did you get close to Fifi and at least take a look?
I got right up next to her, and that's why I took that picture, because I was listening to the show, and there was the whole discussion. Oh, no, I don't think she's going to be there. No, very much she was there.
Yeah. So Fifi was there. Doc couldn't make it. That's what
Doc
we were hoping to
Doc
do.
Was sick.
Yeah.
So now this is where we brag a little bit that we actually have been in Fifi, and you've only been next to it.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Were we in Fifi?
That's what we recorded the show in it when it was in Orlando.
Oh, that's all right. I remember this vaguely.
I'm glad it was such a big impression on him. It's clear as a bell in my head.
Yes, now I remember.
Of course, I went right for the pilot seat.
That's right. We did. We did.
He just remembers that it was the F1 that was parked on the ramp, right?
Yeah, you know, when I look at the those interior photos from Fifi, though, for me, being that, you know, I'm late to the aviation world, unlike Ed and even Dennis for that matter. When you're in the cockpit of Fifi, I kind of think of the Maltese Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it's the same kind of view you would see with Harrison Ford and Chewbacca.
Yep.
And they probably modeled it after Fifi, you figure?
Millennium Falcon.
Millennium Falcon. Yeah, Maltese Falcon's a boat, but whatever.
Different movie. Hey,
you know what I'm talking about.
It was really close for Greg.
Yes.
That I even understood the reference.
See?
And I didn't correct him for once.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Because I've kind of given up.
You're speaking Greg. That is impressive.
That's really scary.
Let me out of here! That probably is the case. You think? Do you think they used that?
It may have.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you look at that view, and it's the same kind of view.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. There is a similarity.
Yeah. All right. So you got up next to it, got some pictures. So obviously that's a highlight for everybody to see Fifi up and close.
Han Solo was there, too.
That's right. Harrison Ford was wandering the grounds. Did you see him?
I didn't. I heard some people said on the shuttle bus, so they realized it was him, but he was so incognito. He was in a full beard and had the straw hat. I mean, just fit in like a tourist.
Yes.
And he did actually fly the 2 millionth Young Eagle his de Havilland Beaver.
Yeah, in his Beaver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And the girl was like, you know, all on press, that, you know, she was... Han Solo's co-pilot, and
she was like, Harrison who?
No, she knew exactly
she
who
knew.
He was.
Okay.
And what was funny is she asked him, do celebrities use checklists? And his response was, yes, we need them more than other people.
Yeah. Well, that's good. He's a good aviator.
Yep.
But you didn't see him yourself. You just heard he was
I
around?
I did not.
Yeah.
Nope, I heard he was around. The only celebrities that I ran into was actually Alan Klapmeyer, the founder of Cirrus Aircraft and now the CEO of One Aircraft.
Hmm.
I ran into him at the museum, and that was kind of fun because my father actually worked for him for 8.5 years at Cirrus. So my dad got to talk to his old boss, and we got to chat about what's going on with Cirrus and what's going on with Eclipse Jets and the Kestrel that they're building in my hometown. So that was really kind of neat. And then I sought out and found Tom Haines over at the AOPA tent as well.
Uh-huh. Well, like I said, we're hoping to connect with Tom later on in this show or maybe next week. We'll get him on and get his perspective of how AirVenture
went. Yeah, I don't know
if
that's good because we both kind of have a plan here on what we need to do to get you over that hump. And it's possibly involving giving out your personal cell number to our listeners so that they can start sending you text messages to remind you.
You don't even know that. You don't even have that. You have my special cell number, just so you know.
Okay.
Those people that
it's a burner phone.
Yes,
yes.
It rings. It rings to Ed and Keith's house, and then it routes to me if I have it set up properly. If it doesn't, if you call it by accident, and I don't know you're calling. You're going to wake them up in the middle of the night. Just keep that in mind before you try any shenanigans like that, young man. But
we need to figure out whatever we need to do, whatever it takes, Greg. We're there for you.
Well, you brought it up, the Maldives. I have to go to the Maldives and do some diving. I'll probably come back and report on some, flying planes. Flying float planes. Mm-hmm. You know, that they run a huge air force, you know, or air service out there in the Maldives, from the international airport to all the little atolls in the Maldives. So I plan to come back and cover, you know, that base for Just Plain Radio. Otherwise, I'm going to be diving with whale sharks and hammerheads and things like that. So I got, you know, I'm juggling a lot of balls. And then I got these radio shows, too. Hey, thank you. Hey. I'll be here all week. Help yourself to the hot and cold salad bar.
Don't forget to tip your waitress.
So, you know, the thing is, I have excuses, I guess, is my point. So
you've always had excuses.
Well, it really is just a timing thing.
I had a customer come into the office. He was, not really a customer of ours, prospective customer, but in reality, he's a listener of the show.
Okay.
And I said, oh, so you're the other one.
Say hi to mom for me.
And he works in a hobby shop and, mm-hmm. you know, builds model airplanes and is actually enrolling in Florida Institute of Technology over in Melbourne.
Okay.
And wanted some advice about financing and how to finance his flight training. And because he's already started. He started quite a few years ago and hasn't finished. But I'm sure I'll be able to beat Greg done with it. And I said, oh, you really do listen to the show.
Well, what's so funny? I find no humor in that whatsoever.
Well, my son's looking over my shoulder right now.
Yeah, Austin.
You know, and he had thrown the gauntlet out to you over a year ago when he soloed and says, okay, the race is on. Who's going to finish up?
Right.
He got the night flight in the other day. He's down to 5 hours total time to hit the 40 mark, and he only has an hour and a half of training left.
I remember when he was such a cute little kid. Now he just
He was so fun on that boat at age 13.
I hate you, Austin. Yeah, okay, whatever. Hey, just know when people hate you, that means you're doing well in life, right? More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Dennis as well, helping us out and rounding out the crew here today as we reflect on Air Venture and Dennis's visit to that. Well, the Woodstock of aviation. I don't think they even use that term anymore. Did you hear anybody saying that? Or is that just me?
It's just the biggest aviation gathering in the world, I think.
Yeah. I think they want to get away from the Deadhead reference and make it more family-like.
Third Eye Blind and a Journey tribute band and a bunch of others. So, I mean, they do have a little bit of that Woodstock nostalgia with the live concerts going on every night.
Well, okay. I was going to say Journey, Grateful Dead, but if you want to just go
close.
Outdoor concerts, yes, we could go with that. It's a festival of aviators. It is a fun event, and if you've never done it, you definitely need to check it out and support the EAA, which is just does a great job with that event. So you enjoyed it. What did you see? What was the, you know, planes or something? I know you got a list of stuff. You took notes, am I right?
Well, I was just trying to keep track of, you know, all the different vendors that we saw and some of the new products that were introduced that while we were there, and just, you know, new features on existing applications.
Yeah.
It was just a wealth of new things. But some of the coolest things were just walking down to Boeing Plaza, which is what used to be Aeroshell Square. Mm-hmm. That's where all the big stuff sits. And we come down there, and here's an Air Force refueling tanker, which by itself is a pretty big plane.
Yeah.
But a Cathay Pacific 747-8, brand new freighter, is behind it with the nose tipped up. Looks like it could probably park that thing inside of it. You know, and just to see the scope and scale. And then off to the side is a DC-3. And you look at this going, look at, you know, how many different eras of airplanes we have and how we've gone from the propeller-driven, you know, three-day cross-country in a DC-3 to, you know, 12 hours from Hong Kong to Chicago.
Yeah. Well, or from L.A. to Tokyo, which is what I do next week.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on my longest flight ever. It's not Cathay Pacific, but it is one of those big monster planes.
So what are you going to do to pass the time on that longest flight ever?
Watch the big screen TV that I have in the seat in front of me.
Yeah.
No?
No.
Wrong answer?
Wrong answer.
All right, we'll find out what the right one is next right here on Just Plain Radio. What? They got free movies.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
Come on and fly.
Place, because this is Just Plain Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. I am Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Ed and Captain Dennis helping us out today because he just got back from Air Venture and acting as our man on the, not street, man on the
man
runway.
Man on the ramp.
Man on the
man
flight
on the ramp.
Line.
Man on the flight line. Flight line, flight attendant, like I don't know, something.
No, I wouldn't go there.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay, anyway, he was there, and so he was our eyes and ears at this event. Now, we've talked about camping. We've talked about some of the things that caught your eye as far as some of the big planes and that kind of stuff, but there was a lot of new developments released at Air Venture, and there are a couple I want to ask you about, but was there anything on your list of stuff and notes that you took that you want to cover here real quick, Dennis, or what?
Well, being I'm part of a flying club that has a couple of certified airplanes, I was very interested to see what kind of announcements were going to come out as far as experimental avionics that we're going to be able to be retrofitted into the planes.
Yeah.
And I was very happy to see that Garmin now has a competitor to that Dynon. Yep. So there's a G5 now from Garmin, so you can have, replace your old vacuum-driven artificial horizon with something new, state-of-the-art, solid-state, electronic gyros. And so it's really starting to open up. I'm going to really wait and hope that we're going to start to see some of the autopilot technology and stuff start to trickle down as well.
Mm-hmm. From what I hear, that this Part 23 rewrite will allow a lot of that technology. And if you talk, I saw something that director of the NTSB was being interviewed on AeroNews.net about that subject, and he says, what they're telling the FAA is, you need to make it easier to use these technologies in the airplane, like AOAs and autopilots and things like that, and flight control systems, because it is going to increase the safety of the flight. I think we're over the next 3 to 5 years, we'll see so much more of this stuff just start filling in and really helping bring the cost down of taking an older airplane and updating it to a newer standard.
Yeah,
more
I think
reliable.
You're right. Can you imagine
AOPA's rebuilding, their initiative to rebuild from the ground up a 172s and 152s and, revitalize the existing fleet, now start to be able to leverage some of these new, adding things that you could never put into a Cessna 172 before, autopilots, and make it affordable.
Yeah, you could, but it's the affordability that, if you look at the panel that Tom has in his Bonanza that he completely redid, he has the G500, he has the GTN 750, he has the Aztec 50. Autopilot, it was a pretty penny. Mm-hmm. I think he said $85,000 to put all that stuff in.
Ouch!
Exactly. And so if you got a $40,000 172, you're not going to put $85,000 worth of avionics in it. But if I can take, and this G5, I think it's not installed, but the price point on it was like $2,200. And it integrates with the other instruments in the airplane. So that's realistic. That's reasonable. Mm-hmm. Because the attitude indicator itself is $1,000. So you're really only spending about $1,200 more to get the technology. And I tell you what, these things last much longer.
Yeah, you're not having to replace your vacuum pump every 400 hours.
The vacuum pump, we just had a standby vacuum pump go out and one, and it made 800 hours. We were happy. Yeah. The attitude indicator itself is expected to make 1,200 hours. Whereas these digital instruments, because there's no real moving parts, 10,000 hours is their expected lifespan.
Wow.
So $2,100 to get me 10,000 hours, yeah, I'm going to do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a good deal. Now, I'm waiting for them to just make it so we can just plug our iPad up to it.
They can do that now. They are doing that now.
Is that in 4Flight 8?
No.
Oh.
It's in the experimental, and iLevel's doing it, and they're based right here in Orlando.
Oh.
And they
Garmin's doing it, though, with FlightStream. You can take the Garmin Pilot app and put your flight plan in there and push it right into your GTNs.
What Greg's talking about, what I'm talking about, is actually have a gizmo that you just put your iPad in, and the airplane is connected to a system that then Bluetooths your flight instruments and your navigation to the iPad. So the iPad is your flight instruments.
Yep.
And that's actually already being done in experimental
aircraft. Of course it is. I came up with the idea. Surely someone stole it already. Took my $1 million idea.
It's aviation. There's no such thing as a $1 million idea. Well, there is. You start with a $2 million.
Of course, $2 million.
You'll end up with $1 million.
So now they did debut. It is 4Flight 8.
Yeah, 4Flight 8.
Well, at AirVenture, have you already played with it, Ed?
No, I've watched the video of what's changed. I've not done the download because I had a couple trips. I didn't want to change mid trip.
What about you, Dennis? Did you check it out while you were there at the show, or no?
I took a look at it, but I'm on the other side of the camp. I'm actually a Garmin Pilot person.
Oh,
so
you're one of those people.
Well, you know, I've been with Garmin for a long, long time. I've had Garmin handhelds. My father used to install Garmin avionics for Cirrus. So, you know, I've been around them a long time. And
we'll still
develop the app. Yeah. Well, the application's actually built right in my backyard. About 10 miles from my house is where the team builds that app.
Well, and I was talking to Josh Colton from Cessna, and Cessna's obviously been using the Garmin product for a long time, but actually now as a Cessna Pilot Center, all of our customers are given a free one-year subscription when they buy a Cessna training kit to the Garmin Pilot. And he went up and spent some time with the people up in your area that are doing the development on the app. And he says what they have, 4Flight needs to be aware, because what they have on the drawing boards will blow 4Flight out of the water.
Mm.
So, you know, obviously, you know.
Sounds like fighting words to me.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how far they can take it.
A two-horse race is much more interesting than a single car going cross-country, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and so one's going to feed off of the other as one comes up with a new feature. It'll actually make the marketplace better.
Yeah, it'll push them.
Well, they had a deal with WingX Pro and tried to get that out as a app to the Cessna Pilot Center customers, and just nobody took to it because it was not on the leading edge. Everybody was using 4Flight. So here, I think they got a chance to really make some inroads with. You know, people, what you learn first is what you learn best.
Right.
You know, I learned 4Flight first, so it's going to be hard to pry it out of my hands. But now that my customers are getting a free copy of Garmin Pilot, I'm learning more about it, and I am liking some of the functions.
Well, it's like iPhone versus Android, maybe, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It very much so. And part of the problem, too, is there's a lot of vendor lock-in there, too. So I purchased a Garmin GDL 39, the ADS-B receiver, so I can get the in-flight weather and traffic.
Yeah.
And it only works with Garmin Pilot. If you go out and buy the Stratus device, guess what? Only works with 4Flight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of stuck. So you have to make that decision. And so I had to go one way, and I have to live with that decision. And I'm very happy with it.
Actually, I know how to build my own ADS-B receiver, and it will work with 4Flight, and it costs about $160.
Oh, really? Sadly, I have all those parts in my drawer right now.
Okay, so you heard about it.
Oh, yes.
Is this something we can just Google and find out what's going on, or what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's called the Stradux Project. And what it has done, what they've done, is taken these $35 little Raspberry Pi experimenter computer, and coupled it with what was supposed to be a TV tuner for your computer. But it turns out they can repurpose that little tuner card to act as the receiver, so it's able to pull in the in-flight traffic and in-flight weather. And one of our club members actually put one together and is using it with, I think it's a. Avux or one of the free Android based EFB apps, and so it's actually working out really well for him. And he's, you know, it's kind of kludgy. It's not this nice polished product, but it works, and it's cost him less than $100.
And it counts.
Well, ADS-B is ADS-B in is what we're talking about.
Okay,
not
just
ADS-B
to receive
out,
it.
Just to receive it.
Okay.
And it's what Stratus has already had.
Yeah.
What the GDL-39 for Garmin's already had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
you're looking at a box that costs, you know, anywhere from $500 to $1,000, you know, depending whether you want the heading information or just the weather and traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big pill. But if you can build one for $100, you know, maybe that's
okay.
If you
care to go that route and trust your ingenuity. See, I'm not that kind of a fix-em-up kind of guy. But, hey, if there's a YouTube video, I could do it. I can follow steps
and almost,
like the best of them.
That's about all you need to do to build your own. It's almost that easy.
Okay.
All the parts are there. You can just, if you can plug a couple things in and load an SD card up, you pretty much can do it.
But the transmit is the thing we got to all get, though. That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's right.
So that's the
expensive. Not really
going to
solve that much of an issue for you. All right, we got more to cover from AirVenture 2016 with our buddy Dennis next, right here on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Lobster fever is hard to kick this time of year and definitely adds fun to scuba. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share the cure to keep your lobster season safe.
Scuba Radio.
This scuba tip is brought to you by Dan, Divers Alert Network. Dan helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the Dan Hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join Dan today by going to dan.org. Dan, your Dive Safety Association.
Lobster season for divers is an annual event. However, as fun as catching your own lobster dinner can be, a dose of lobster fever can easily distract you from the scuba basics like monitoring your air supply and situational awareness. So make sure you're comfortable and current with your scuba skills before adding another task like lobster hunting to the mix. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge.
Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Can I let you in a little secret?
A secret? Just you and me? Sorry, that had to come out. Go on.
I'm not going golfing. I'm taking my first flying lessons today. I always dreamed of being a pilot.
Oh, Jay, that's fantastic. And I totally get it. I had a crush on the pilot who flew the crop duster back home. He had big, broad shoulders and a deep, husky voice that, in retrospect, could have been pesticide-related.
Can you promise me a sky that's trouble-free and clear so it's safe for me to fly?
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed. And Dennis is helping us out today. He was at Air Venture there in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. All right, now, Keith not with us today, but he did send us a picture of this aircraft that he wanted to talk about when he came in, and I think both Ed and myself have figured out why, and it's because the dimensions of the interior cabin, do you think?
It fits a mini giant like
that. Yeah, he didn't say why he wanted to talk about this. We're just putting that together because, you know,
that's our assumption.
He's borderline Sasquatch size. And this new airplane called the, it's made by Commuter Craft. It's a two-seater, but the cabin is very wide, like 60 inches wide. So they claim it can handle a pilot up to like 6'9".
Wow.
So that's a big-ass person, really. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like Keith. So I think he's anxious to give this thing a go. He does like 200 miles an hour or something, or 200 knots. And I don't know what kind of carry capacity it has, but it must, you know, be fairly decent.
Well, according to their website, it's listed at probably right around an 800-pound useful load.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That for a two-seater? Yeah.
No.
That's not good?
Useful load that includes fuel.
Oh.
Well, no, you're right. I'm trying to think about that. That's about what the 172 has, is about 800 pounds useful load. Mm-hmm. So that's actually very good for a two-seater.
So useful load.
How much fuel capacity does it have?
It says 46 gallons.
Okay.
160 knot cruise.
So that's 300. So that's almost 300 gallons, 300 pounds of fuel. So you still have 500 pounds for people and bags.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That 250 pound people and
What'd you say? 160 knot cruise.
Yeah, it says 160 knot cruise.
Yeah,
46 gallons of fuel.
900 nautical.
850 pound gross.
The thing I'm reading here says 800 nautical miles. It should be able to cover with full fuel. So useful load includes the fuel. Is that right?
Useful load. The fuel has to be counted into useful load.
Well, fully loaded, the Innovator has a range of 800 miles. So what does that mean? Fully loaded.
Full fuel.
With weight and people.
Well, just full fuel. Yeah. It doesn't mean fully loaded with people.
It doesn't. You don't think?
No. Okay. It just means with full fuel.
Well, it carries big people. Let's leave it at that.
If it has 860 or so, whatever pounds, useful load, that for a two-seat airplane, that's very good. Because, like I say, that's about what a 172 would have.
Okay. Which is a four-seater.
Which is a four-seater.
Yeah. Okay. But this is a really...
And it carries a little bit less gas than the 172 S's have 53 gallons, which is like 318 pounds. So that's what I'm saying. It's a little bit under 300 pounds of fuel. So you still got clearly 500 pounds for people in bags or more.
Or this is a... I don't read this in their marketing material, but is this a two-seater for fat people? Maybe.
Maybe that's why it got my attention as I walked by it.
So you saw it, though, and
I took
a look at it. It has a unique wing type of
It looks like a flattened pancake. I mean, you know, you're used to seeing most home builds are kind of, you know, kind of tall and more cylindrical. Mm-hmm. This thing looks like somebody pressed it down and flattened it out a little bit. It looks more like a Frisbee than it does a traditional fuselage.
Huh.
And that's what got my attention. It was very wide. It's, you know, it's got the canard, so that's always kind of cool to see, you know, something different.
Right. A little
but
nose
that,
thing.
That
to make
flattened,
it more.
Low profile, real thin, it just was really,
sleek.
It had some curb appeal.
Yeah. So it looks kind of space age-ish type of thing. It kind of adds a modern look to it. And it supposedly does incorporate some kind of no-spin technology. I don't know. Maybe it's similar to the Icon kind of thing. I don't know.
Well, just by virtue of having a canard, essentially makes it spin-proof because the canard will always stall and drop the nose before the main wing will.
Uh-huh.
So you can never actually fully stall a canard aircraft.
Well, there you go. Well, we could always try. So, but and it's,
somehow you'd find a way, right?
Yeah. Well, and supposedly you go to their place and they can you can build this thing in a couple weeks or something. Is that what it says? It doesn't take that long to build these things.
I don't think it's a couple weeks.
Is it? Wait, I thought I read that somewhere. Are you telling me their marketing material would be slightly exaggerated? Is that what you're trying to say?
It's marketing material, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. It says you can go to their factory and get one of these things built fairly quickly, or once they start these into full-fledged production.
Well, maybe is it a production airplane or is it a home build?
Well, I think it's one of those combo things where you go to their factory and they help you.
Yeah, you have to be 51% builder for it to be able to
one
do
of
maintenance
those,
on it.
Right, so they do all the heavy lifting and and you go, yes, that looks good. I'm guessing that's what they do. Or do they actually make you do stuff?
No, they make you do stuff.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of lame.
That's what Jim and Deb were doing on Smokey were doing on that RV7 they were building.
Yeah, they're still working on that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what else did you see? I know when you go around the last day, you were telling me you got all kinds of swag or something.
Yeah, so we found out that if you really want to load up on the freebies, you need to go on Sunday because, one, the admission's cheaper on Sunday because the air show closes down a little earlier, but everybody's packing up and wanting to get out of Oshkosh after being there a week, and none of them want to take anything home. So it's like trick-or-treat.
Let's load up.
Your bag, and they're loading them up. You know, everybody's getting rid of their extra pops that they had in their booth. Here, free sodas for our customers. Come on by.
Really?
Here's some Simple Green wipes. You want headset earmuffs and all this kind of, here, it's all right here. Just throw it in.
Wow. So you scored. It was like Christmas, huh?
It was.
Cool.
So that's
like
what
trick
you want.
Or treat.
You want to go to Air Venture on the last day on Sunday and do just what Dennis did. Score all the swag you can and just say, hey, I got a big old truck. I can throw stuff in there. You got an extra plane? I'll hook it up here. No problem.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And not to mention, it wasn't nearly as busy in the exhibit halls, you know, as it was on Saturday. You know, so many people kind of already went home after the air show Saturday night.
All right, so come early or go late to Air Venture. That's Dennis's words of wisdom on how to cover Air Venture. And we'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.